Hey, Ding Dongs, I'm Jamie.
I'm Richard.
And this is Explain It to Jamie, the political comedy podcast in which I, Jamie, a politically innocent but curious young man, have the complicated political happenings of the world explained to me by my politically savvy friend, Richard Lamb.
Not just politically savvy this week, but also scientifically savvy as well.
Yeah. How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. You know, good. Just living life, breathing the clean air that's going to always be that way and will never not be that way. Enjoying the limitless bounty that Mother Nature gives to us, thinking to myself, I'm so glad there's literally unlimited resources on this planet. And I will be able to rest easy knowing that no matter what we do and no matter what happens to this world, Mother Nature will provide for us always.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
You know what? It's funny you mentioned the clean air because I went out to Toronto Island like maybe a week or two ago, and I didn't realize until I went out to the island and then came back to the city how bad Toronto smells most of the time.
Yeah, it's like seriously it's polluted.
Like, it's like, well, like puke and like sometimes like jizz.
Yeah.
There's like, I didn't know that I knew that specifically what jizz smelled
like.
It's like
a warm blanket of jizz smell just like swaddling Toronto like a gross baby.
Yeah, especially on the east side.
Yeah,
no offense, but
it's all relative.
Eat shit,
because
east side. When
eat shit and get wrapped in jizz. When I got back from New York, spending a month in New York too, I was like, Toronto is the nicest smelling place I have ever been in my life. Like, nowhere has ever smelled as delicious as Toronto. Because New York, like, where Toronto like has a, like, you know, like a sort of a jizz smell.
Yeah.
New York is like a butthole. Like, it's like your face is in there, and then there's like the flesh is pressing into you, and there's like sweat pouring down your body. And
careful, you're getting me excited.
Yeah, that's right. Just like, I'll save it for Ted Cruz's Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Did you see that this week?
No, I saw that a lot of people were talking about Ted Cruz.
So, Ted Cruz, it was discovered, people on Twitter looked through Ted Cruz's, like, tweets he had liked, and he had liked this like porn tweet that was like a 2-minute clip of a stepmom coming home and discovering her stepdaughter getting banged by some dude.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Jamie, what is it you want to learn about this week?
I want to, you know, it's funny because this is a political comedy podcast.
Right.
But we're about to talk about something that I wish wasn't political.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be political. It's climate change.
Right.
How the weather, you know, is changing and how, like, dependent on where you're from and who you vote for, your opinion on whether or not that's true. Is affected.
As they say, the weather outside is frightful, but having a healthy and growing energy-based economy is so delightful.
That's
so
right.
You know, as long as you love me so, continue to deregulate the oil industry and place your trust in the corporations which are extracting oil from Canada and the planet Earth.
I love that song.
I know, isn't it beautiful?
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Okay, great. Yeah, we'll get into it. I mean, it's funny, like, in many ways, it seems like a science issue, right? It seems like something that should be kind of like, it's such a series of obvious facts that require action that it is surprising that it's political, and it's frustrating that it's political. But at the same time, like, in a way, climate change as an issue is the politics of our time. Mm. It is everything. All the problems with our time, climate change is the, like, intersection flashpoint of literally all of them. Every single thing happening in the world that is politically important is routed at some point through climate change. And if we manage to solve the climate change crisis, we will have, like, in order to do it, we will have created a much better and more functional world. Or we will all die. Yay!
Yeah. Woo!
Hey, well, and then we won't have to worry.
As long as we're all dying together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm scared of death for myself. But if we're all dying, I'm okay with
it. Then I'm fine with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mostly, yeah, my fear is death is mostly like FOMO.
Yeah.
It's mostly just fear that I'll be missing cool stuff happening back on Earth while I'm, you know, in heaven, French and Carrie Fisher or whatever. Whatever it is they do in the Bible. I can't remember.
Sure.
I haven't read it in a while.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't we rev this extremely highly efficient electric podcast engine, zero emissions podcast transmission belt,
and
podcast panels, solar panels and drive this efficient podcast machine to podcast town. Actually, they don't make any sound, so it would sound something like this. That's actually just the sound of us climaxing for how energy efficient this podcast machine is.
Yeah, if there's ever more than a 3-second silence in the room with me and Richard, we both ejaculate.
Guaranteed. Woo!
Yo.
Okay, Jamie.
Yes.
What do you know about climate change?
I know the climate change. I have a very good source. That climate change was invented by the Chinese fuck up the U.S. Yeah, isn't that right. What Trump said or something?
Yeah, he did say something like that. It's
wait
like,
a second.
It's a problem we have in China.
Aren't you Chinese?
What are you talking about, Jamie? That crazy.
What are you doing with the ozone layer? What do you want with it?
Okay.
Yeah, didn't Trump say something like that? That the Chinese made up climate change?
Yeah, he was he blamed them for it, basically. He said,
Also, is that okay for me to say the Chinese?
Yeah, yeah. That's your word.
The Chinese. Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird way to say it.
I know. No, he did say that. Trump's main thing is being told one piece of information about an extremely complicated problem and then presenting that, because that's the only thing he understands, then just parroting that and also blowing that out of proportion and out of context. So I think it is true that China is a really bad emitter of greenhouse gases because they're industrializing really fast and they're such a big economy. Mm. But no, they're not the only ones responsible. Russia, the U.S., the entire Western world is really at fault here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's kind of futile to talk too much about what Trump's point was. But I think his point was that the Chinese invented the idea. I got to stop saying the Chinese. I know it's probably fine.
No, that's a fine.
Anyway. Every time, but I think what he was talking about was that they.
You're not saying the coolies.
Yeah.
You're not like the wily Asiatics. Yeah. The Orientals. You're
the
fine.
Asiatics.
Bro. You're fine. Bro, you fine.
Yeah, it was that they invented the idea of it as economic warfare with the states, because then the states would stop producing so much greenhouse gas, which would make less money, and then the Chinese could take off.
Yeah, that's saying Black Lives Matter wants police to shoot black people so that they can sell more t-shirts.
Right.
That's the logic at play there in right. Donald Trump's almost certainly Alzheimer's riddled brain. Yes, the Chinese invented global warming. No.
Yeah, right on the money.
Okay, so climate change.
Climate change.
What is it? As we know, as probably most people listening to this have heard or suspect, climate change refers to a phenomenon that is also called global warming. The two things mean the same thing, even though both are accurate terms, I think some people prefer climate change to just head off the favorite argument of idiots and Sun newspaper readers everywhere. Hey, if the world's getting so warm, why is it cold today? which is a thing that people still fucking say all the time. And as both of us have ties to people in Alberta, they say shit like that all the time.
For sure.
So climate change is a more accurate term, perhaps, because it encompasses the notion that, yes, there is still stuff that's cold. But what it refers to is the fact that the average temperature, and basically the average temperatures across the entire world, have been steadily going up since the Industrial Revolution in the mid-19th century.
Right.
The long and short of it is that the world's getting warmer. We can measure it. And we can measure it over... We've certainly been measuring it since we've started recording temperatures, which again go back to, I think, the late 18th, early 19th centuries. So we have temperature measurements that go back that far. Granted, we don't have global temperature measurements, but we do have all kinds of fancy science.
Yeah.
And one of the main ways that scientists use to measure temperature is they drill into Antarctic ice. The ice in Antarctica is like the rings on a tree. It forms in layers, and the deeper layers are like older and stuff, and it hasn't melted, you know, in like millions of years. So if you drill a huge hole down and basically pull out a big tube of ice, what you're getting is like a snapshot of what the air was like at whatever moment that that layer of ice formed. And doing that, scientists have been able to go back in time essentially and analyze what the atmosphere looked like for about the last 800,000 years. They have now measurements about how hot it was, what was in the air at a given time.
And now I know one of the, being from Alberta, one of the most popular arguments against climate change is like, but, you know, Alberta used to be tropical way back when.
Right.
You know, like the climate has always been changing. It's always been different. And I know from watching Bill Nye, he talks a lot. He says, but what's important here isn't that it's changing, but it's the rate at which it's changing.
That's 100%
correct. It's never changed this quickly before, and that's what's fucked up.
That's 100% correct. And also, it's not just the temperature. Like, it is true that about, you know, in the dinosaur times, the Earth was about 6 to 10 degrees hotter than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But when that was true, the seas were also 200 feet higher. And like the entire world was tropical. There were no ice regions anymore. Like, there was nothing like that.
Right.
And the other thing that's worrying is that the world is always in cycles of heating and cooling. And what we're in actually right now, all of human civilization, literally, has existed in the period between the last ice age and the next ice age, which is supposed to be coming. Right. So like in this, like we're in this kind of like middle period of time right now where the Earth is actually not as cold as it can get or as hot as it can get. And it's, you know, the last, what, 50,000 years, ? That quote, I'm heavy air quotes, like organized human civilization has really existed.
Right.
Right. Like maybe 50,000 years. And that's not a very large amount of time in the Earth's cycles. So really, all of our civilization has taken place in a very small window of opportunity in which the climate is basically more or less what it is like now, what it's been like before, right before the Industrial Revolution. That's been the climate that has fostered human civilization.
Right.
Right. So here's one of the other worrying facts. Let's roll back. Let's roll back a little bit here. Let's roll back.
Okay.
Let's go all the way back to what the fuck is climate change?
Right. 50,000 years ago.
So the problem is the Earth's getting warmer. We've talked about this. Why is the Earth getting warmer? Let's talk about first why, and then we'll talk about why it's a problem.
Right.
So the Earth is getting warmer, as far as we can tell, with all of the best scientists and the best data gathering and the most observation, we can tell the Earth is getting warmer because the concentration of carbon dioxide, which is a molecule that's part of our air normally, is increasing in the air. Carbon dioxide is a byproduct of like a lot of chemical reactions that we use, most notably burning gas, right? And because the carbon dioxide is increasing in the air, it has like a couple effects. It's what's called a greenhouse gas. The way a greenhouse, like a glass greenhouse, works is it lets sunlight in and then it traps some of the sun inside itself as heat.
Mm.
And increasing the carbon dioxide content in our air is basically like putting more layers on the greenhouse. It has like both the effect of making the air thicker, so less heat, our whole world is balanced around a really crazy series of factors that go through our entire like universe, but like a huge part of it is that when light comes from the sun and comes to the Earth, a huge amount of it actually just hits the Earth and bounces back into space.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's why planets are bright. It's because they're bouncing all this light back from the sun off of them. So a huge shitload of the energy that, and the heat that we get from the sun actually just goes right back out into space. That's also why, like, Venus is, like, the hottest planet. It's, like, I don't know, 400 degrees Celsius there, and it never gets cold even at night. Whereas Mercury, which is hotter than the, which is way closer to the sun, actually, it gets as hot as Venus during the day, and then at night it gets super cold because Venus's air is thicker, right? So it holds the sun energy in.
I was reading a thing about Mars and how they were talking about, because they found remnants of water on Mars, or like what was. Where there was water at some point.
Right.
Like, oh, okay, what happened? And they determined, they said, you know, well, we don't know what happened, like whether it was a volcano or whether it was, an asteroid hit the or whatever hit the Earth and put up enough muck into the air that the greenhouse effect effectively, like, went nuts and fried the whole fucking place.
Right, which... incidentally, could happen on Earth.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. But so the carbon dioxide is getting thicker in the air. Why is that? Well, back in the day, Jamie, the only way that you had to do stuff, in order to do stuff, Jamie.
Yeah.
Jamie.
Richard, please.
Jamie.
Tell me how to do stuff.
In order to do stuff.
But don't tell me too much, because our podcast next week is Explain to Jamie Doing Stuff.
Yeah, but that's more about getting busy.
Yeah.
In order to do literally anything, in order to lift your arm, in order to have your muscles move and breathe, your body requires energy. And your body stores energy in all kinds of different ways, like fat. You know, there's fat in your body that you get from eating stuff.
What are you saying?
I'm saying, Jamie, maybe it's time to start hitting the gym a little more. No, basically, like, your body has chemical reactions inside it that break down the fuel that you've been storing and output it as energy, and that lets you do stuff. Where did you get the energy? You got it from animals and plants that you ate. Where did they get the energy? If it was an animal, it ate it from a plant or another animal.
Yeah.
And if it's a plant, it got it from the sun, right? The plants are basically the entire bedrock of life on Earth, because plants are the organisms on Earth that take the energy coming in from the sun and turn it into, like, their ability to do stuff. And then everyone else lives off plants in some way, basically.
Right.
Because the building block of all life on Earth is that energy comes from the sun.
Right.
Cool? Humans figured out a long time ago that you can, like, take the energy in other stuff and use it for things. And the classic example of this is, like, wood. So, like, a tree has spent years, decades, slowly taking energy from the sun and taking carbon dioxide out of the air and using it to grow. This is going to be a lot of, like, grade 3 science class stuff, which is kind of cool. But
that was,
like,
great. That's the last time I paid
photosynthesis
attention in science. Yeah.
So photosynthesis is the process by which a plant takes both sunlight and carbon dioxide, grabs them, the plant takes the carbon from the carbon dioxide and releases just oxygen.
Right.
So that, and you've heard, like, forests are good for oxygen. Trees produce oxygen. This is that process. So basically, and it stores the carbon inside its body as, like, the physical part of the plant, and it also stores the light from the sun as, like, chemicals. So when you take a tree, and you light it on fire, what you've done is, in the spot of, like, if you take a lighter and you put it against the dry piece of wood, in the exact spot where the flame is, you're getting the air moving so fast that the oxygen in the air will smash into the carbon that's stored in the tree and snap them together, and they'll make carbon dioxide again and fly off the tree into the air. And when that happens, it also releases that little bit of sun energy.
Right.
Right. So it happens in this kind of, like, domino effect, where that little bit of that chemical reaction of the oxygen hitting the carbon creates enough heat that it makes the next ones do the same thing, and the next ones, and the next ones. That's why fires need oxygen to keep burning. And that's why stuff that lights on fire tends to stay on fire and burn the whole time. And we realized as humans that if we used this power, you could, like, do more stuff, because you're not just using the fuel in your own body anymore. Suddenly you're taking this tree's lifetime of fuel and you're using it all at once, and you can do more stuff with that, right?
Right.
Then all of a sudden there was this big revolution in the 19th century. And that was that they found this rock you could burn that was like way better at burning stuff than wood.
And they called it Bernie Rock.
Yeah. That's right. And to this day, the Bernie bros still plague us. They called it coal.
Yeah.
Right? And at the same time as there was all this like new technology being invented, they realized coal could fuel all of it, or rather it was like a cyclical relationship. They realized that you could burn coal and use it to make like way more stable kinds of fires. Mm-hmm. And you could use it for this, for steam technology, which was like a lot more controllable than fire, right? Wood fire is, you can only kind of use heat stuff up in it, right? You can't use it. It's not that useful otherwise, but when you can use
steam to push something.
Exactly. Once you have steam, you can. It's like what steam is, right? Obviously, you heat up some water, and then a jet of and then steam comes out of it, right? Yeah. Water vapor. And if you control the steam and like funnel it into a certain location, suddenly you can control it and use it for all kinds of stuff. So like the way steam technology works is, you create a bunch of steam, you push it into basically any situation where it has to be funneled. It gets funneled through a very small area, and then it like turns a wheel or something. And when the wheel turns, then you can just use like gears and shit to make that wheel
maximize like, the power that's coming
exactly,
out.
Or like make it do what you want it to do. So right. For like on a train, like the steam pushes a wheel that's like attached to a rod, and the rod is attached to all the wheels of the train, and that's how the train moves. It pushes the wheels of the train, et cetera, et cetera. And then as we got hungrier and hungrier for coal, because all of these new technologies with steam were being invented, they needed coal, we needed more coal, we started digging in the earth looking for more coal, and we found all this other shit. We found stuff like natural gas, which is like big pockets of air that are also burnable, we realized, and we found crude oil. Crude oil is... it's basically like dead, long dead life forms, which died and were... trapped before they could decompose. So if you died right now and like your body rotted in a field, all of the energy you've stored in your body would slowly filter back into the atmosphere.
Yeah,
right?
Gets eaten by mushrooms.
Yeah, it gets eaten by mushrooms. It stays in the environment that's here now. And this is a good time for this. So you remember the water cycle? This is another one of those grade 3 science things.
Sure.
The water cycle describes basically how there's like a fixed amount of water on the earth that's just kind of constantly moving around. The water rains out of the clouds. It arrives on the ground. You know, it nourishes things. And then it heats up, gets put back into water vapor, goes back into the sky, and kind of keeps cycling around.
Right.
There's many different kinds of cycles in the environment. And one of them is the carbon cycle. And basically... the general principle of that is that the world, the whole ecosystem of the world is balanced around carbon moving around. So if you cut down a tree and burn it, you're actually not going to contribute, you're not going to mess with the climate that much, because like the climate expects the carbon in the tree to be part of the system.
Right.
And generally speaking, there will be the same amount of carbon moving around constantly between the forest and plants and then back into the atmosphere as stuff burns or dies. Because like fires occur naturally with lightning storms and shit like that, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But if sometimes carbon like drops out of the environment and it doesn't go back into the environment. And that happens, like, it happened a lot many millions of years ago when the world was mostly swamps. Like if something dies, falls in the muck, gets buried before it has a chance to decompose... all of the like, all of the energy inside it, all of the like carbon inside that life form, will stay there and it will never rot away. And eventually, like the pressure of all of the like earth on top of it squished it into this super condensed form, which is like this black goop we call crude oil. Mm. And people realized you could really burn the shit out of that stuff. They would find massive lakes of it underground, where I don't know, over the years, like the rock had pushed all of these dead organisms together into these big things.
Mm.
And the problem, essentially the problem is the environment doesn't expect that carbon to be in the carbon cycle. So we're suddenly adding all this extra carbon into the carbon cycle when we're burning these oil. Right. Like we found trillions and trillions and trillions of, dead organisms, and we're burning them so that we can do more stuff. Like all the stuff they could have done in their lifetimes, we're like taking all of their muscle energy and using it to fuel everything we do now, you know?
Right.
Our electricity generation, our transportation, our et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So we're releasing a shitload of carbon into the atmosphere. And we have been for like 150 solid years, 160 years. And that was all great until
what a party.
Until we realized the Earth was getting hotter.
Yeah.
And not only was the Earth getting hotter, suddenly there was a shitload of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And right now, I believe the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is at about 438 parts per million, which means right now our atmosphere is about 0.04% carbon dioxide.
Hmm.
Right? What's freaky about that is in that Antarctic ice tube I mentioned, they've never, ever found... The highest concentration of carbon dioxide they've ever found in the last 800,000 years was 0.3.
Right.
So we're already like we're 30% more than we can possibly measure in the last 800,000 years of Earth's history.
Human beings setting records all day, man.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. We're just winning. We're so much winning.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere than there has been before, and the temperature now is also a lot increased. It's increased almost 1 degree on average since before the Industrial Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that a problem? Well, it's a problem for a number of reasons. Now, the reason that's probably on everybody's mind is like the weather is going to go crazy, which is true.
Sure.
There's just been these huge hurricanes in southern United States and in the Caribbean and in Mexico. And while it's impossible to be like, this is because of climate change, definitely, like, when things are warmer, storms get bigger. That's a fact of science. If the world is warming up, storms will get bigger. That's going to happen. Other terrible things that can happen include agriculture will permanently change. So right now we grow a lot of shit in, like, very hot tropical parts of the world, and those things are shipped all over the place, right? Mm-hmm. But even a small change in temperature in the very hottest places we grow things will make those places unable to grow anything.
Right.
And also, like, bees will move, because bees have, like, a maximum heat where they're like, this is bullshit, I'm getting out of here. So, like, the bees are going to start leaving areas that are getting too hot, and bees increase the yield of crops like a shitload, and tons of places rely on them.
Mm-hmm.
So already we talked about, like, earlier in a different episode of the podcast, bananas have been growing in British Columbia this year, and, like, olives have been growing in Oregon and shit. That's, like, going to start happening. Like,
right.
We're going to have to, if we still want bananas, we're going to have to start growing them farther north. But that's, like, you know, the herald of everything changing.
Right.
Like, everything changing. If the world starts getting too hot, really bad things are going to start happening.
I just want to say, like, speaking of greenhouse gas, Dolores Richard's sweet, sweet dog just came in the closet where we were recording and farted so bad.
Yeah, she crop dusted us. Like, and now she left the closet and is giving us a smirk.
That's real classy, Dolores.
Thanks, Dolores. And then so, like, you know, the sea levels will rise because glaciers are melting, right? Mm-hmm. So there's going to be more water. Storms will get bigger, like I said. That kind of stuff's going to happen. As you said, with, I believe, 70 degrees, if the Earth ever gets to 70, an average temperature of 70 degrees, which is, like, a lot hotter than it is now. Like, no one's saying, like, this is going to happen tomorrow. But that's the point at which there will be a chain reaction and all of our oceans will vaporize. Because water vapor itself is also a greenhouse gas, right? So if there is more water and the world's hotter, more of it's going to turn into vapor and go into the atmosphere, and that's actually going to increase the rate that things are going to get hotter.
Right.
This is part of what is scary about climate change, is that
it's a point of no return, it's exponential. Yeah.
Right? So, like, the warmer it gets and the thicker the atmosphere gets, the faster it will get warmer and thicker.
Right.
If that makes sense.
It totally does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching this video yesterday. It wasn't about climate change. It was just like a fun video of a cartoon, like, average-sized human walking.
Yeah.
And as it walks, all these, not dinosaurs, like, long-extinct mammals from, I think, the Ice Age period, like the Crozaic period or whatever, walk by it in the other way. And it's just like a fun way to go, oh, like, look at that weird animal that used to exist, and look how big it is compared to a human or whatever.
Right.
And you go through and you see, you know, it's this really cool video, very simple, but you see maybe 150 different types of animal, all of which I've never seen before, mm-hmm. which is what makes the video fun. But partway through, I was sort of watching, looking at all these animals, going, oh, look at that animal. I never even knew they existed. I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't know they existed because they're extinct. Every one of these animals died out completely, and there's the human walking the other direction. There's sort of this poetry that I saw, which I was like, we think we're special, but like someday the human could be walking in the other direction on this video. You know, it's totally reasonable for like literally every other animal that has existed on this earth that doesn't live now, all of its species lived and died and is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, people have this weird God complex thinking humanity is special in some way that we'll never, you know, be forced with a choice where all of our existence hangs in the balance.
Yeah, nature's super indifferent to our survival.
Yeah.
Like, whatever happens to us, the planet will still be here. It'll just be uninhabitable for us, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what climate change is.
Yeah.
It's the fact that because we're burning so much oil, every car on the road, every boat in the ocean, every airplane in the sky, because we're so hungry for these things, and for like kind of the standard of living that we have, we're very rapidly changing the composition of our atmosphere. It's making things hotter because it traps heat in, and also like particles in the atmosphere kind of act as like tiny mirrors, so mm-hmm. they reflect light back downwards at the same time, right?
Right.
Light comes in and then it bounces off the shit in the atmosphere and hits the earth again. And all these things combine to start making the earth hotter. And we're already seeing like outlier effects of what that's going to look like.
Right. Luckily, we're up here in Canada.
Yeah, so that's right. We'll be fine. It's just going to get nice and hot.
Yeah, we're like the people who showed up to the music festival like late.
Yeah.
And then like they had to change seating. And because we showed up late, we were further back and we didn't have to move.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Everyone who showed up right away and got the good seats are like, oh, I showed up at 6:30 and now I have to move to the fucking back of the line.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
Idiots.
Yeah, okay, so where are we at right now today? Well, lots of people know that this is a problem. 97.3% of scientists agree that this is a problem. And the honest truth is that there's like a handful, we're talking like less than 50 scientific papers ever published that have either like found that climate change is not happening, have found that it's not bad that it's happening, or have found that the like oil is unrelated to climate change. So basically like the things that are like, no, it's not a problem. Only about 40 papers have ever found that, and none of them have ever had their findings duplicated successfully, which means they're super scientifically dubious.
Right.
This is happening. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to acknowledge that this is happening.
And it's troubling. That's troubling, because another argument I hear often is like, you know, you'll say 97% of scientists agree that this is happening, and then someone will say, yeah, but 99% of scientists disagreed with Galileo. You know, and you go like, well, I guess that's true, but if like we can't always, you know, look at the one guy out of 1,000 who disagrees and go, that guy's probably right because Galileo is right.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's a fucked up way to rationalize something.
Right. Well, and here's the other thing. Like, even if you don't think it's important to address the oil industry because climate change is an existential crisis to us, which it absolutely is, and you should, there's no fucking reason for us to be as all in oil as we are now, because it's going to run out. Like, it's going to run out.
Mm-hmm.
Oil reserves are, people love to talk about, if you ever look at like how people talk about oil, it's always like, ah, the endless oil field. This is the biggest oil field. Every country in the world has like a weirdly different technical claim to having the most oil. Like, Canada says like the tar sands are like the biggest single deposit of crude oil anywhere in the world. And Saudi Arabia is like, it has the biggest oil field anywhere in the world. And then Venezuela is like, it has the biggest deposits of oil. And these things all mean like slightly different things.
Right.
But there's always like a language of abundance about oil, especially that comes from politicians who are pro oil and from like companies that are pro oil, you know, like, oh man, like they found massive oil stores. Right. But it's all kind of a small, what's funny is that we know there's not unlimited oil. We know that. 1 second of thinking, you'll be like, well, obviously it will end somewhere. So like, why do we think of it as it being abundant instead of being like, we have exactly this much oil on the books right now.
Right.
How long will this last us? Because the thing is, it will run out eventually. And if we're a country like Canada that relies a shitload on oil to make money and do anything, why are like we need to be ready for when the oil runs out, which it absolutely will. There's just like
nobody
no way
about
it's not going to run out.
Right. Unless we heat the earth up so much that all the humans die.
Yeah.
Get buried in swamps.
As oil, and become oil. That's like the galaxy brain approach to climate change. It's like the normal person's like, we need to make sure that we invest in good like in green companies, and then the planet brain is like it's like we need to ban oil immediately, and then the galaxy brain's like humanity must sacrifice itself and become oil for the next humanity. As a mass suicide to make sure they have limitless oil. They'll have more oil than they'll ever fucking need. It's going to run out eventually.
Yeah.
So like, why not? And also this is the other thing is like, regardless of whether you think that climate change is real and bad.
I was just going to say like, what is the downside to having
alternatives.
Yeah. Well, like why is
also
yeah.
oil's also super fucking inefficient. When we use gas to like power a car, 3/4 of the energy produced by that the fuel is just heat. It's waste energy. 1/4 of the energy goes into pushing the car forward and running the car, and 3/4 of the energy just is like it's used exploding it, and it's just because it's so inefficient, like we capture it losses heat into the atmosphere.
And on top of that, and we've mentioned this on the podcast before, like the tar sands is considered dirty oil
because it uses almost as much energy to extract as it does to give us back. That's correct.
It's something crazy, like 90%, or you know,
yeah,
like
it's a huge amount. Yeah.
Where you go, what's even the fucking point? And then Scrooge McDuck jumps into his money pile and you go, oh yeah, there's the point. That's it.
Exactly.
Hashtag neoliberalism. Check out that.
Check out our neoliberalism episode. That's the thing. It's like, why the fuck have we gotten here? What's going on? And the honest truth is it is capitalism that's the problem. Cars started with like modern cars started with the Model T. Right. Yeah. And basically the thing is, gasoline cars and electric cars, when cars were first being created in the early 20th century, were equally viable. And in fact, most people would have bet on electric cars becoming the better car option because they're way quieter, easier to use, way easier to maintain. Mm. And they're just like more advanced technology.
Right.
Right. Like, whereas, but the thing is, they got a consumer gasoline car to market faster and then dominated the market. And competitors duplicated that working model, and then basically everything just snowballed from there. Like eventually the barriers to creating an economically viable electric car in the capitalist system were just too high, right? And that's why we have gasoline cars now.
Right.
And as car companies and oil companies became extremely powerful corporations and actors in our society, they also actively suppressed electric cars.
A lot about animals. Like our livestock is a massive greenhouse gas producer.
Yeah.
I think like cow farts like tear up the ozone layer.
Yeah, yeah. Methane.
Methane tears up the ozone layer. I don't want to mislead, but I think that like our livestock produces more methane than our cars do.
Yeah. And also, it's not just that. It's not just like the actual raising of the livestock, but it's also like
the feeding them and transporting them.
It's feeding them. It's like the plants that we raise to feed them is also like a pretty wasteful endeavor. And then driving them around.
Yeah.
And shit like that.
Which is why it's such a big deal that there are, you know, there's like, I was watching this video about this company that grows meat now.
Right.
Like from stem
cells. I've seen that too. Yeah.
And that's one of the things is they put it down in front of a foodie and they give them a steak that comes from a cow and a steak that was grown in a lab, and the foodie can't tell which one is which.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was the big point. Is they're like, we can eat meat and, you know, no harm to animals. So like vegetarians can chill a little bit on that, but also we don't need to fucking feed it all. Like,
yeah.
And we don't need to transport it around the way we used to. And
yeah. And that's exciting.
Takes the waiting game out.
That's super exciting. But the problem is even with exciting things like that, the fundamental problem is that the electricity that's powering that lab is being generated by either, depending on where it is in the world, coal sometimes, not in Ontario anymore, but some places.
Alberta runs on coal.
Yep, which is super bad. It's like such a worse greenhouse gas emitter than oil, or by natural gas, which is a greenhouse gas emitter, right? So even if you're using electricity to create green innovations like that, the chances are good it's fossil fuel based,
right?
And we need to, in order to save ourselves from serious potential catastrophe, we need to roll back the amount of carbon in the atmosphere to the point, you know, ideally the point before the Industrial Revolution. That's the goal of stuff like the Paris Climate Agreement, which you've probably heard about.
Oh yeah.
It's like the big international climate agreement right now, and obviously with Captain Cheeto in the White House, it's not had its fair day. But the objective of the Paris Climate Agreement is to limit the amount of global warming to 1.5 degrees above Industrial Revolution levels, and hopefully reverse it entirely back to pre-Industrial Revolution levels.
Now, Elon Musk talks a lot about fission being the answer. Mm-hmm. Like, so, well, no, that's not true. Like, he pushes solar, obviously, like Tesla and you know, his companies are huge producers of solar. But like, I've heard nuclear power is actually a really awesome viable option, but was kind of given a bad name, like by what happened with Chernobyl, as well as what happened in Japan.
Fukushima, and,
yeah.
The thing is, nuclear is not as bad a greenhouse gas emitter at all, so it could be kind of a short-term solution. It does have like serious environmental implications, and just like nuclear plants are like relatively rare because we're still very much an oil-based electricity generating civilization. As you proliferate more nuclear plants, you will also have more accidents. That's just, like, just how that works. Mm. So I think that people are like, why don't we just skip nuclear and go to solar? Mm. We can go to solar. We have the technology. We need to get to solar. The thing is, a truly solar civilization will be very different and look very different than our civilization now, because our civilization so far has all been about like fundamentally about extracting resources. Like, all of Western civilization has been a war to extract resources, and the history of Western civilization has been about extracting resources. Like, Canada exists as a country because England and France wanted more resources and stuff. They wanted like funny pelts for their hats and shit, right? But you know, we're kind of approaching the question of if we need to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Because if we manage to get ourselves to the point where we're using solar for almost all of our energy, that won't go away for billions, like millions and millions of years.
Yeah.
Right? We won't need to be competing for those resources anymore the same way. Now, obviously, we'll still be competing for like the resources used to make the stuff that gets the solar electricity, but it's a very different world than the one we're in now, where everyone's ruthlessly competing to extract oil.
Yeah. This maybe makes it a bit abstract, but I was thinking about this over this last week and kind of thinking about selfishness and like solipsism in people, and how rare it is for someone to actually legitimately think of future people.
Yeah.
In an argument, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying that, like, you know, people on the right don't do this and people on the left do, because actually I don't think it's that way. I think it's, you know, there's a lot of value projecting, I find, you know, even amongst my friends, where people say, like, don't be racist, and you go, what a bold and noble opinion, you know. You're saying that so that everyone looks at you and goes, oh, that guy must not be racist.
Yeah, virtue signaling.
Yeah, exactly. And it's truly heroic and rare when I encounter someone that I go, oh, you actually care about this beyond yourself. You know, you're not just saying switch to solar because it's a popular opinion in your friend group. You're saying switch to solar because the future depends on it, or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I went through a phase of being like a big Elon Musk fanboy. I know there are many of them in the world.
Yeah.
I'm way more hesitant. I still think it's cool, but if you don't know who that is, he's the CEO of Tesla and SpaceX and Solar City, or his three big companies. I think he's cool. I think he's interesting. I think he's like a weirdo and probably not a very nice guy, but he's unquestionably a genius. But yeah, I
understand he suffers no fools.
Yeah, I'm hesitant to tech, like the tech industry, the whole tech thing. I'm wary of it because it is such a capitalist thing.
Oh, right? Yeah.
It is like ruthlessly capitalist. And so because of that, I'm very, very suspicious of them and their motives. But the propaganda I read about Elon Musk does say he actually is one of those guys. Like, his basically life goals are to get the human civilization off oil by creating a viable solar alternative. And that's what his electric car company, Tesla, and his home solar panel company, Solar City, are about.
Yeah.
And then his other goal is he had this realization that we need to have humans on another planet, because if there's like a freak catastrophic world ending event on Earth, human civilization will be wiped out. And you need to have, like, it's like saving a copy of humanity on a different planet, so that if we lose Earth, we at least have humans somewhere else.
Right.
And like, he's trying to do that with his private Mars colonization company.
Right.
Which is like making cool strides, and that's like exciting. But, I don't know. I don't think we can trust the tech people to save us. I think we need to get on this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked, I've mentioned this a few times, but like an electric New Deal, like a solar New Deal, like we need to get really serious about like society-wide change, infrastructure change, society-wide transition to solar power.
Mm-hmm.
We need people to we need to build a shitload more solar panels. We need people to put them on houses. We all need to learn how to put them on houses and put a shitload of people to work doing that. We need big time infrastructure to move electricity around. This is one of the biggest problems with solar and wind power right now, is like it's not sunny everywhere all the time, and it's not windy everywhere all the time. And generally speaking, you need better high speed electricity, like high voltage electricity lines, to just be able to move electricity from wherever the wind is to wherever people need the power.
Right.
Right. So we need that infrastructure also. It's cool that Tesla makes these like solar charging stations that are like gas stations for their cars that are self-sufficient. They charge solarly and you just pull onto it and it charges your car while you're sitting on it.
Yeah.
We need stuff like that. We need it fast.
Yeah.
We're running out of time. Like,
yeah, I just, you know, I was looking at, I'm going to Singapore in November, and I was looking at some Singapore stuff, and that's an amazing country.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's amazing about it is they just all seem on board with like that kind of thing, like with solar and also pushing, agriculture into cities, and like, how can we squeeze a tree in here?
Yeah,
and
dense country.
Yeah, how can we put trees all up and down the sides of these buildings and cover everything in solar panels? And
yeah, Singapore also has the advantage, I think, of not being an oil extracting country, so not having a big entrenched interest in keeping oil going, which is like our big problem and many people's big problem. Like, France is a global leader for new technologies and zero emissions technologies because France doesn't have oil.
Right.
You know what I mean? France doesn't have oil, so they're like, no, we're going to, we'll show you guys.
Yeah.
If they had oil, they I bet they'd be like...
Yeah, a car in the race.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah, except they're Teslas.
Yeah.
And Singapore, I think, also has like a king. It has like an authoritarian power structure.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
So I think that they have a lot more like, you know, ability to be like, put a tree there or your hand's getting cut off, motherfucker.
Yeah, they used to have a lot of pirates. I know that for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pirates.
So obviously, yes, we need a big transition to solar energy and wind energy and hydroelectric energy to some extent.
Mm.
What other stuff can we do? Well, we can encourage the oil industry to slowly die. People are doing things like this with stuff like a carbon tax. You've probably heard of this, which basically just means that if you burn carbon in order to do stuff, you have to pay the government so that the government can pay for transitioning to solar.
Right.
Carbon taxes are like really unpopular with conservatives, and it's one of the things they like to yell about. Consider it like the permanent fund we don't have, conservatives, you fucking assholes,
right,
who didn't get us a permanent fund. Check out our UBI episode for information on that. But basically, like, it's like if you want to poison everybody, you got to invest in helping us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the...
How much does the government tax companies that mine oil, like on the basis that the oil belongs to the country and not the people who take it out of the ground?
Like, it depends on which province you're in. Because in theory, resources are the purview of the provinces, and there's like some federal control over them, but that's why like Alberta has a culture of having like not that much tax on oil. And yes, it does benefit from oil, obviously. Like oil companies, you know, the fucking theaters and art galleries and shit are named after oil companies in Alberta.
Yeah.
But let's just say they could be contributing a fuckload more than they are. And they're not in, like I said, in Alberta. Okay, I'll just talk about it. So, you know, there's a permanent fund in Alaska. So when Alaskans realized they had a shitload of oil, they were like, any company that extracts oil here has to pay a certain amount of money for all the oil they extract into this big mutual fund, basically. Mm-hmm. And we manage it, we invest in it, and however much interest it earns every year, we divide that up and pay everyone in Alaska that however much it is when you divide it among everyone.
Right.
So every citizen gets, in years where the fund makes a profit, every citizen gets a check. And then also now they have like billions and billions of dollars that they can use to build solar shit if they want to, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, this ties back in again into our neoliberalism episode and the idea of a maximum income as, and in this case, like a maximum income, I think would work as a deterrent for just taking all the oil. Like, you know, I feel like, and this is a lot of ifs and what ifs,
yeah,
who
owns oil? Don't we all own this oil?
Well, we all own the repercussions of oil.
100%.
And so like,
100%.
And so like, that's the fucked bit. You know, it's like, fine, you found this oil. I think, you know, I think the government should make this rule, but the government should say this, okay, you found this oil. Great. Good find. Here, this is going to be hugely profitable for the whole country. You have now got the maximum income you can get as a Canadian citizen based on our new anti-neoliberalism rules that we've instated. So you're taken care of for the rest of your life because you found this oil fair and square.
Yeah.
But you don't get to make $40 billion
mining it. No, there's no reason for that.
Because if you did that, then we would all suffer an immense consequence of, A, like, it's not really fair because the oil kind of doesn't belong to you, and also that burning it, the results of burning it, is bad for everybody, not just you.
Well, not just that. And here's a talking point that doesn't get said in public that much, but that should be, especially as I think the conversation is moving leftward and more people are finding socialism and leftist-based critiques of stuff. The lifestyles of the ultra-rich are way more climate polluting than the lifestyles of even like the moderately rich,
right?
So like the worst thing an individual person can do for climate change is air travel. That's really bad, right? It like, considering like for one person, the act of traveling by air, that's like the most you will contribute to climate change, like dollar for dollar.
Right.
And rich people flying on private planes, like, it's like, you know, it's like four people in that plane. That's way more dollar for dollar climate change than you than even like you would put in when you're flying on a 747 right. with 300 other people.
Right. Or like a yacht.
A yacht is super bad for climate change. Eating expensive shit from Italy that's flown from Italy to fucking Delaware is horrible for climate change. Yeah. Right. Like if the very richest people took a lifestyle cut to the point where they were only quite rich, there would be a noticeable reduction in greenhouse emissions, I bet.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the ultra-rich who are profiting from the extraction of oil are also the largest individual contributors to climate change, but no one's saying that. We should start saying, don't fly on a fucking private plane.
Yeah.
You have no reason to. That's an inexcusable luxury because you're poisoning people.
Right.
And it's the people who are the most vulnerable in developing countries in the third world who are going to suffer first and die first.
Yeah, what was did you see that interview with the guy from Monsanto where he's sitting down with the reporter and the reporter's talking about what this chemical that's been found in the water supply in whatever state in the U.S. It might have been, Flint or whatever. But he's talking about this chemical, and the guy, the Monsanto guy, is like, yeah, but that chemical has been found in the water supply in this city, but it's not harmful to humans. And the reporter goes, well, actually, I'm happy to hear you say that, because we happen to have a cup full of this chemical. And so, if you're telling the truth, and you wouldn't mind having a sip of it. And the guy flips out and is like, well, I'm not a fucking idiot. And he's like, but you said it's not bad for you. He's like, I know that if I drank it, nothing would happen to me. He's like, then take a sip of it. And he's like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And he just like really gets uncomfortable. Yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah,
you are totally towing a party line straight to hypocrite town. You know?
Yeah, it's brutal. I feel like this episode's going to go really long. There's so many things I want to talk about. I'm actually going to say, on air, having not discussed this with you now, why don't we make this episode, here's what climate change is, and let's do another episode on like politics of climate change, because we haven't talked about cap and trade. We haven't talked about indigenous issues. We haven't talked about a lot of stuff that we could be talking about.
I'm totally into it. I think we should also do an episode on Elon Musk himself.
Sure. I'd be down with that. He's an interesting guy.
Sure.
Really interesting. I mean, yeah, really interesting.
Sort of a Tony Starky, or at least that's how they're selling him.
He's like not sexy Tony Stark.
Yeah. He's a lumpy potato looking.
Unsexy Tony Stark.
Tony Stark.
Yeah. It's a serious problem. It's happening to all of us.
Yeah.
Let's talk more about the politics of it on another episode.
Because
we've definitely dipped a toe in here. But the long and short of it is that, like, this is a society-wide problem. This is a global problem.
Yeah.
And as the beneficiaries of climate change, like, climate change benefits us more than it benefits the people who are suffering. Like, we're the ones who are getting all the nice things. We have the good lifestyle. We have luxury. We have comfort. We have exotic foods. We have all the things that climate change, all the pluses of climate change are coming to us. All the downsides of climate change are beginning to, you know, the Caribbean's been devastated by these hurricanes. Southeast Asia being devastated by climate events. Bangladesh sinking into the sea, as we said on the refugees episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to start getting worse. And by the time it's bad for us, it will be way too late.
Yeah.
Way too late.
Well, I mean, you know, we already said it, but I feel like this is sort of the point that I keep running over in my brain is like, even if these people who say, you know, climate change isn't happening, even if they're right, let's just imagine, what is the downside to stopping using oil and making the air a bit cleaner, making the water cleaner, and, you know, endangering our agriculture a little less, you know, like, why not?
Well, the downside is that the oil people might have to make less money, Jamie.
Right.
That's it.
I'm sorry, I take it all back.
Yeah, you're right. Those poor oil people. You know, who will think of their feelings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Honestly, it's a crazy thing. It's exactly the same as like back in the 50s and shit when cigarette companies knew cigarettes were killing people, but they did everything they could to lie to the public, anything they could to keep selling cigarettes, to keep the information from getting out that cigarettes were actually bad for you.
Right.
Every fucking dirty, underhanded, immoral sack of shit thing that they possibly could to keep people smoking cigarettes, knowing all those people were dying faster. We're going to die of lung cancer, which is like a horrible disease.
Yeah.
Like, they still did it to make that money. And that's what's happening to us right now.
Yeah.
That's what's happening to us right now. They are feeding us this shit. They're holding on for dear life. They know their days are fucking numbered. They know we're all going down. They know we're fucking dying. Yeah. They know our grandkids are gonna watch wildfires ravaging all of the fucking cities that we once knew and loved. That fucking, the resorts that we think are beautiful that we watch on TV will be miles underwater. That all of the fucking food that we eat that we think is so important and has existed forever will be gone. Like, we will not have almonds in 50 years. We will not have avocados in 50 years. Like, they know this shit and they're still telling people that it's not happening. Or they're saying, we can't be sure.
But wait, so if we don't have avocados, what are all the millennials gonna eat?
Each other. Welcome to the Thunderdome, millennials. There's no participation trophies here. I think I just fucking created Fox News' first prestige TV show. Yeah.
The Thunderdome.
Yeah. The Climate Dome.
Okay. Okay, I've heard enough. Yeah, Richard. Yeah. I've heard enough. I want to get out of this farty closet.
Yeah.
No, sweet Dolores. Sweet Dolores. What medicine are you on?
It's actually just farts.
Just farts.
Just farts.
Just bottled farts.
Bottled farts. Yeah, you gotta, aren't you, baby?
You got to keep those in.
Yeah. If you liked this episode or didn't like it, if you have responses to it, questions, queries, hit us up. We are on Facebook at Explain to Jamie, at Explain Jamie on Twitter, explaintojamie@gmail.com.
We're on Instagram. We're on, yeah. We're
all the shit. All, we have so much shit, you guys.
All over the fucking place.
So let us know. Let us know if you have ideas for future topics. Like I said, sooner rather than later, I want to get to the political solutions of climate change, including what countries are doing about it, what ideas we have or to help reverse it. And I want to talk about especially indigenous issues around climate change because the two intersect quite a lot. But in the meantime, you can listen to our episode about Standing Rock, which starts to talk about this already.
Yeah.
And yeah, let us know. We listen to everything that people send our way and we love hearing from people. So
yeah,
so
we smile when it's nice. We cry when it's not. If you liked it, send your friends. If you didn't like it, send your enemies. super classic. Until next time, I'm Jamie.
I'm Richard.
This has been Explain It to Jamie. Oop.